All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? We celebrate the communion. We've been taught to identify the different things that Jesus' body went through in his passion, and identify these different things that happened to this perfect, sinless body. And Paul told us this is how we discern the body of Christ. He said we need to discern this. The only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So when we look at this, we'll see that this bread that is made without yeast has been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. Also, you'll notice that there are stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that by his stripes, we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood, and we got redemption in some area for it. You also notice that this bread is slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure. There was no sin in it whatsoever. That's why it can wash away our sins. It sets us free. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we've been put into right standing with God and justified freely by his grace. That blood of Jesus seals in the New Testament promises. And it's because of that blood that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. All right, open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 10. And one of the things that we need to understand is God wants us to prosper. God wants us to prosper. Even as our soul prospers. See, he doesn't just want you to be loaded up with cash if you're crazy upstairs. That leads people to bad places. But he does want you to be prospered. He wants you to prosper in every way, physically, mentally, spiritually, especially financially. See, there's a lot of people that get really, really angry about if you start talking about prospering financially in church. The church desperately needs to get a hold of this. God wants you to prosper financially. Did you know it costs money to spread the gospel around? You know, it costs money to get evangelists in cars and pickups and planes. They need Bibles. They need gas. They need food while they're away from home. There's a lot of expense in getting people born again. One time there was a religious guy, he got mad at me. He said, if God wants somebody born again, he'll send somebody over there to get them born again. I said, yeah, he told everybody to go into all the world and preach the gospel. less than 10% of them get up off the pew and go. You know. And then the churches, a lot of times, got this idea that all the money goes to the pastor, goes to the church, it stays right there. That's the only place they can go. And if they even acknowledge evangelists and the other fivefold, they might call them paraministers. You know what a paraministry is? If you break it down, it's like a parasite. I'm serious. Evangelists are not parasites. They're part of the fivefold ministry. If it wasn't for an evangelist that got up, got in his pickup, drove all the way from Texas, all the way to Wyoming, I wouldn't have gotten born again. And he had people in tow with him. He had musicians with him. There was a lot of stuff. And then he gave me a Bible. So that cost money. I remember one time a guy got mad because he didn't think preachers should have airplanes. And I told him, I said, I want my pastor to have an airplane. He has one. And he flies into some of the craziest places to go do Bible studies with people. Nobody's going to drive there. He'd go all the way up into the middle of nowhere, Montana, middle of nowhere, South Dakota, fly there to have Bible studies with people. So I get to be a part of that. Every time I give into that ministry, it helps him get all over the place. I get to be a part of that. Amen? See, that's why we send money all over the world from this church, from your giving. It goes all over the place. We get to be a part of God's big plan for this world. Amen? Not just right here, but all over the place. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, there's a lot of people that have accumulated a lot of money, a lot of things, and they're absolutely miserable. They are just miserable people. They're miserable to be around. Their families are miserable. It's just their sorrow added to their riches. You know, they never get to be home or whatever it may be. They may have to work 16, 20 hours a day, every day. There's a lot of misery added to their wealth. And that's not God's design. There's one guy, I don't know how he came up with this, because he wasn't a real religious guy. And he drank like a fish. And he said there should be 8 hours of work, 8 hours of sleep, and 8 hours of play. Well, he was pretty successful. But we need to have time to work, time to play, and time to sleep. You know, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. See, there is a happy medium to everything. You know that? Hey, you can work all the time. You can work all the time and gain wealth and just be miserable. But then we got this other group of people that don't want to work at all. You know, and then they wonder why they're broke. I remember I was in a cafe one day, and this young couple, they come in, they sit down, I just casually said hi and visited with them a little bit, this guy was all excited, and I said, what's going on? He's a Christian. He's And I said, really, where do you work at? No, I don't work. God's going to take care of me. And you could see his wife, with her eyes were just, she was not happy about this situation. He thought he was going to sit on his butt and everything was going to be okay. And I tried to tell him, I said, look, that's not God's design for you at all. I mean, we do have to receive from him, and he is going to meet our needs. But you need to put your hands to something so that God can bless the work of your hands. And she was eating that up. She was excited to hear somebody tell him that he needed to go to work. He wasn't having it. You know, my pastor used to say this all the time. So the Holy Spirit, he'll help you mow the lawn. And the Holy Spirit will help you take a nap in the hammock. But the Holy Spirit will not mow the lawn while you take a nap in the hammock. You're going to have to get off your butt, get some gloves on, and go to work. Go do something. Amen? Now, you're not earning your living. See, this is where people get confused. We're earning money so we have seed to sow. Amen? God supplies our needs. We're earning money to have seed to sow. You know, down here in verse 6, it says, blessings are upon the head of the just. Once you get born again, you are the just, because you got justified freely by his grace. Blessings are on your head already, before you even give one single penny. You got born again, God freely gave you all things with Christ Jesus. Now, maybe you only have two pennies rubbed together. Well, God gave you those two pennies. You can get one. He gave you some seed to sow. He gave you some seed to sow. Now, sow it in faith that because he is freely given unto you, you can freely give. Amen. Now, a lot of confusion in this. And I got hung up in this. But I want you to look over here to 2 Corinthians. We cannot be mistaken about this at all, ever. But there's a lot of confusion even in the Word of Faith circles on this. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. We're talking about grace. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So right there, we need to understand that it's a grace thing. It's not something that we're going to earn. We need to understand God will be a debtor to no man. I grew up in the Word of Faith circle. Once I got born again and finally got going to church, I was in the Word of Faith circle all over. And there was a lot of pressure on people to prosper. That was the thing. You know, they'd go to church in a lot of places. They'd spend 30 minutes talking about money every single service. And there was a lot of pressure, it seemed like, on people to prosper. And people would do some crazy things to prove they were prospering. They'd get into debt plumb up to here to show everybody how prosperous they were. No, you ain't prospering, you're in debt, you're a slave. You're going to work a long, long time paying that pickup off, and it's going to be wore out by the time you get it paid off, and you're going to pay for it twice. You didn't prosper, you sold yourself into slavery. But pride gets in people's way. Pride seems to control a lot of people's flesh, and it's a terrible thing for people. Did you know it's okay to drive an old pickup? Did you know it's okay to live in a small house? Now, if you've got money to pay for it, that's great. You live in a castle if you want. You're not hurting God's feelings, and you're not hurting anybody. The only thing, there'll be going to be some religious people that are going to be mad at you because you could have given that money to the poor. No, God wants you to live good, man. He wants you to live big. Then the people that live big are usually the people that give big. Amen? But we need to understand that it's about His grace, number one. Not our obedience. The Word of Faith circle is big. They'll say, it's by His stripes I was healed. Amen? Amen. By His grace I was saved. Amen? Amen. I'm prospered because I'm a tither. Wait a minute now. Are you saved by grace? Are you saved by grace? And you couldn't do one thing to earn that, right? You cannot do one thing to earn God's blessings, right? You're prospered because of the grace of Jesus. Now there's a thing, you know, I've proven tithing, and I've proven giving, and I've proven receiving. I've done all three of them. Proven them all to be successful. What I found out is, you know, through tithing, I found out that opened up my heart to receive God's blessing. You know, I didn't know a whole bunch about this grace thing yet. I didn't know about that. But I knew that if I give, you know, if I tithe, that it would open up that. And I received that way. And then I found a little easier way that broke myself away from that obedience of having to, man, I can't make a mistake on this tithe. I got to get it right. It's got to be just perfect. It's got to be this. It got so carried away there for a while. I listened to a teaching. This guy said, you can't let your tithe money mix with your money in your bank. That's defiled money. You got to set it off to the side. And finally, I was so crazy upstairs till I was afraid to make a mistake. Why? Because I was operating on my own efforts. Then I figured out the giving part. And it said, if you give, shall be given unto you, good measure shaken down, running over to me, and given to your bosom. So I started doing that. Just started giving. Not tithing, but giving. And I proved that. And that actually made finances come in a little easier than the tithing, it seemed like. But there was still something missing. So then I decided, I'm going to receive from Him by His grace. And my goodness, you can't believe the flood that happened through that. It's a whole lot easier to just receive from Him and receive from Him and let it go through you. Amen. Look to the cross. Your financial needs are met at that cross already by His grace. Now look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Paul set things straight for us here. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, that's our seed right there. You know, that when we're given, we're sowing. But when we sow a lot, you can expect to receive a lot. You give a little, you can expect to receive a little. Wayne Myers made a good illustration out of that. People are visual creatures. You know, they learn by seeing a lot. And he took a bag of black beans and poured it into a bucket. And he said, he got a little teaspoon and he started scooping black beans out. He said, if you give a little, you're going to receive a little. And then he took a shovel, started scooping back black beans out. If you give a little, if you give a lot, you're going to receive a lot. That got their attention. See, we're going to receive back what we give. Yeah. Yeah, the cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And see, that was one of the challenges I had with tithing is sometimes I'd take that 10% and set it off to the side and say, I guess I'm not having any biscuits for a few days. See, I had to get my mind right, but I had to get my heart right. I had to get changed. Amen. Once I figured out that He's already given it to me, it's already mine, that made the giving a whole lot easier. That just, now it's just, there was a saying in the oil field when we were out drinking, we'd be spending a lot of money. And they say, ain't you worried about that money you're spending? And say, ah, there's more where that come from. That was a saying. That was all over the oil field. There's more where that come from. That should be your slogan right here in the church. You spend a little, don't worry about it. There's more where that come from. God is a never-ending, never-failing source of our supply. You know, so we don't have to feel bad. It ain't ours anyway. We only get to keep what we give away. So we send it on down the road, help somebody else out. There's a lot of places that we can give. There's a lot of places we can give. We've been through that whole list. There's widows, orphans, poor people, strangers, evangelists, there's missionaries, there's orphans, there's everything. Man, there's all kinds of places you can get. This God has set in place so many different places that we can sow. And people just sit around worrying about the reaping. You know, there is a seed time and harvest. And I liked the way my friend put it one time. He said, because we've always taught there's seed time, and then there's harvest. You know, like there was a big space or something. He said, did you notice there's not a comma there? He said, seed time and harvest. The Bible talks about a time where the reaper overtakes the sower. You know, you can sow and almost immediately get a return on it. That's possible. Look at, get back over here. Verse 7. Says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Every man as he purposes in his heart. Now this is the thing, you're going to have to go off by yourself, and you're going to have to spend some time talking to God about this. You have to ask Him, said, where do you want me to give and how much do you want me to give? Do you know it's okay to ask God about that? It's okay to ask Him what he wants to do with his money. You know, we have these ideas that we're going to decide what he wants to do with his money. But what I've seen a lot of times is there's a lot of hustlers in the church world. I call them pulpiteers. And they work on people's emotions. And they'll get people screaming hallelujah, get their hands in the air, and then they'll pass the basket. You know, we'll put our basket back there. You make your decision at home, what and when, and then you take care of it at that basket. It's between you and God. Amen. God, he has ways of telling you when and where to give, how much, who. He knows a lot more than we do. Amen. It's not a good thing to tie him down, try to tie him down to some legalistic rituals that we've come up with through the traditions of our forefathers. You know, he's a lot more freewheeling than that. There's a lot of places that we can give. But here's the thing. When he does show you a place to give, take care of that. That's your bird nest on the ground right there. When he shows you a certain place, you guard that place and you take care of that giving. You take special care of it. Because he's given that to you as a way to get that blessing flowing. Boom, 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 boom. He already gave you some seed to sow. Sow it and receive more. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Once you figure that out, and it's by his grace, he's going to supply your needs anyway. You got it made. I promise you, this is like finding your own special little gold mine. Don't get trapped in your thinking that the church is the only place that you can give. It's a wonderful place to give, but that's not the only place. There's a lot of places. Now, he said, don't give grudgingly or of necessity. See, a lot of times, people are kind of irritated with giving and tithing. You know, they just, you know, finances are short, times or whatever. Then they just, man, they do it grudgingly. I guess I'll do it. I won't eat any pancakes next week. Or I have to do this. I have to do this so I can be blessed. Whoa. You're blessed already. Don't get sucked into the works. Don't get sucked into the working of this thing. You're already blessed. You're blessed. So we can give. Amen. He's gonna supply all your needs anyway, isn't he? And believe that. Now, it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, there's the gist of what we've been talking about. God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He wants us to meet these different needs in the community, you know, our neighborhood, wherever we may be. There's somebody that needs something. And God has enough grace to meet that need. Amen? Now, carry on here. Now, let's go down to, verse 9 says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. That's talking about the giver. Verse 10 says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, that's God. He ministers seed to us. Both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Not only is he going to give you seed to sow, he's going to give you bread to eat, and then he's going to cause increase on your giving. And there's a really, really cool thing about God. He's into multiplication. He multiplies it back to you. You know, the stock market, I hear people talk about getting 5% return on your money, 10%. Some really good guys, 15. Nancy Pelosi, 40. 50. But that's percent. So you get a 10% return on your money. So if you invested $100, and at the end of the year you got a 10% return on your money, you got $110. And if you're like a lot of people, you had to sit there and worry about all these fluctuations of the stock market. It's up one day and it's down the next. Is it going to be here tomorrow? What's going to happen? But God, you take that $100 and you put it into his kingdom, and he multiplies it back to you. Now all of a sudden, you wake up and you have $500 in your pocket and where that $100 was. That's the grace of God. That's how his kingdom finances work. It's an amazing principle. But we got to take the religion out of the way. Got to take the fear out of the way. You know, sometimes you just got to let it roll. Just believe God. How good is God? He's all the way good. How Christian is your God? How Christian is your God? That's an important question to ask. You ask a lot of people, and they have more of a God that operates under the law. More of an Old Testament God. And are afraid that if they don't tithe or if they don't do this the way they're supposed to, then God's not going to bless them. Or maybe if they sin, God's going to curse them. How Christian is your God? Is he a loving God? Is he a forgiving God? Is he a graceful God? Yeah. Since when did he demand your perfect obedience? He didn't. But here's the thing. He gave us these principles that we can operate in his kingdom with, and it causes blessings to flow back into us. Amen. Just don't get tied down to works. Enjoy his grace. You'll enjoy his peace. Let's carry on here. He says, he multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. That's kind of a confusing verse, but you know what happens when you give to poor people? They pray for you. They thank God that you came their way. That's cool. They say thank you. And I promise you, you can't outgive God. And strangers, you know, strangers show up, people show up. I remember there's this guy when I was still in Wyoming. We were getting ready to move down here, and this is going to be a costly move. And I had $500. So, well, we were moving, and there was this guy that was showed up at the gas station. I go in there and I get hot dogs every day, and he'd be there, and I'd buy him a couple burritos every day. He was stranded, and I said he didn't have a driver's license, and he had to get back to Oklahoma. And I thought, wow, you know. So went through a couple days, and then one day he said he was just going to go ahead and walk. This is a little bit before. This is November, late November. So I went to the gas station, and he's gone, and I'm hearing about a huge blizzard that's coming our way. So I drove down the highway just taking a chance. I went down there, and I said, and I found him. I said, I'm buying you a bus ticket so you can go home. So I bought him a bus ticket so he could get home. And went to church Saturday night. Said we're heading for Texas. See y'all later. And they loaded us up. We left with $15,000 in our pockets. You can't outgive God. But see, if you're going to worry, if you're going to be afraid, things aren't going to work out your way. See, we had $500, and here I am buying some guy burritos that I don't even know. And buying him bus tickets so he could get home. All the while, I needed to get down to Texas. Oh, what the heck? There's more where that come from. Amen? See, God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. We just got to lose some of the religious rigidness. Loosen up a little bit. We're going to know that we're going to receive His prosperity by grace. And our responsibility with that prosperity is to sow it out there, cast it out there. We'll get to more of that later. But for right now, He wants us to let it go through us. You know, that one of the best analogies I can think of is the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has water flowing into it and no water flowing out of it. And it's dead. There are no fish in that sea. It's worthless water. I guess unless you're a salt miner, maybe they can mine salt. But then you look at the Sea of Galilee, there's water comes in there and water goes out. And I don't know how many different kinds of fish they have living in there, but people have a livelihood of fishing in there. There's a lot of fish in there. There's water coming in, water going out. It's alive. It's thriving. And it's well. That's how God wants us. He wants to get it to us, but we need to let it go through us. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us every single day. We thank you that we are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed and highly favored. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to show us how to be a blessing looking for a place to happen. There's people that need the church to stand up and be the church. Not for recognition, but because they need help. Father, we ask you that you let us be the conduit that it takes to get your provision from heaven to earth. We ask this thing in the name of Jesus. Amen.